Iron will take care of it.
8:47 on the clock, and we will call to order the Board of Supervisors meeting for Tuesday, July 3rd, 2018. We will start by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Opens Meeting Act is posted on the east wall. Attendance by observation: Jurgens Hill, Bauman, Dorn, Lytle, Byers, and Tiemann. Consent agenda: 1 is the general agenda, 2 is approved minutes of the meeting held June 20th, 2018, 3 approve all claims through July 3rd, 2018 in the amount of $982,903.75, except claim number 18070076 to RL Tiemann Construction in the amount of $1,135.27 to be voted on separately below. 4. Approve and place on file correspondence received. 5. Approve utility permit number 1104 Blue Valley Telecom will be plowing in 650 feet of fiber optic cable 4 foot below the bottom of West Ditch and boring 3 inch by 150 foot of cable 5 feet below flow line of culverts. Cable will be encased in 1 1/4 inch poly duct. A 2 foot by 2 foot by 3 foot cable vault will be placed inside of right of way at north end of project, located in the southeast quarter of section 33, township 1 north, range 8 east, Liberty Township. Number 6, approve utility permit number 1105, Windstream, Nebraska, LLC will be boring in 300 feet of cable at the minimum of 4 foot below flow line of ditches, leading to culverts to replace bad buried splices on South 148th Road along the eastern edge of the east right-of-way. New pedestals and cable will be placed 3 foot inside of the right-of-way located in northwest quarter of Section 34, Township 5 North, Range 8 East, Hooker Township.
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, seconded by Lytle. Vote. 7-0 in favor. Regular agenda. Entertain a motion to approve or disapprove claim number 18070076 to RL Tiemann Construction in the amount of $1,135.27. This brings total of claims approved through July 3rd, 2018 to $984,039.02.
Move to approve.
Second.
Who made the motion? Motion by Lytle, second by Bauman. Vote. 6 in favor with Tiemann abstaining. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. We don't have anybody in the audience today. We had enough last time, huh?
Yep.
We will move on. Committee reports. Building and ground, winter lights.
Nothing unusual other than what we heard in committee. So Dave's on vacation, so Rosie is in charge.
Equalization.
No.
And Patty talked about that this morning. So yep. Finance, insurance.
Well, I'll start out with the large ticket items. Gage County, fund transfer to the road department, $400,000. Gage County, MAPS, juvenile services aid program, $12,672.72. GIS workshop, $14,629.50. Manelli Wagner and Associates Engineering Consulting, $37,585.32. And Rock On Incorporated Gravel Hauling only, $12,840.05. The Manelli Wagner, I looked at the list earlier. It was basically a lot of hydraulic studies that were done. I know there's various culverts that went in throughout last month, I should say, and I think was part of it on the Northwest Bridge, Adams Northwest Bridge to Galen.
No, not on that one.
Not on that one. Okay. And I think
the work they did do on the one by Odell, is that included in that project by Odell, or is that included in here, like their bills for any of the, engineering?
That might be in there, yeah.
some of that might be.
I think that's just what I was going to mention. I think there was some part of that project that was in there.
So you know the bid for that project, that was then just for the contractor, you know, the bid for that went through that bridge match, right?
Yes. Engineering's separate from that.
So the county, I mean, we still had to pick up the engineering then, or do we get cost shared on that?
No.
Okay.
We'll do that.
Anything else for finance? We have a little bit on the budget. We have a line item later on budget or whatever, I guess, to go over the budget a little bit.
Yep.
Human resources.
Nothing.
Law enforcement, emergency management.
Lisa?
I'm just going to pass out. I have some fair brochures here that I'm going to multitask in here, so please take one and pass it up. Just wanted to share with you on the LEOP plan, just an update. I updated the committee the last time on Monday, or whenever we met. So anyway, we're almost ready to send it over. So that first draft, I had hoped to get it up there this week, and then the guy that we work with actually is gone this week, so we'll shoot for the first of on Monday. So that's gone very well. Don't look at any particular, you know, changes. We've talked to the villages out there on their LEOPs, their individual LEOPs, and how they incorporate into our county plan. So all those resources, and also, you know, people are updated and as the changeover takes place. So the other thing is on the grant. As you know, Gage County receives reimbursement for salary and some supplies, office supplies and so forth. So our grant rotation is now up. So I'll complete that end of the end report here, which was June 30th. It's due the middle. Next week it's due. What we're finding is there might be some leftover funding available right now, so we might be able to go back and recapture some of the salary that was lost. So I have pre-applied, sharing with them what the total was from the time that I was hired, came on duty, so that would fall under there. So we won't know until everybody gets in their reimbursement forms and so forth, and then we hopefully will know in about a month and a half whether or not we can apply. So training exercise, I just wanted to share with you how important training exercises are, and that's part of the compliancy, what this job is really all about. We did have a training exercise with Magellan Pipeline last week, and Magellan is actually that line of anhydrous pneumonia that leaves Coke, you know, goes east, and then heads up to Greenwood. And so they had invited emergency management along with Beatrice Fire Hazmat team, and then the people of Beatrice Community Hospital. And so that was a part of that whole plan, was to see what would happen in the event a break would happen. This was only a table topic, obviously. But the need for a shutoff valve was very apparent to the Magellan administration there. So because that forces Beatrice Community Hospital to actually shelter in place should a break or anything happen there. And it could be a shelter in place that might take some time. So they're preliminarily looking at that need. So that way it would be a quicker shutoff, so, you know, things could be handled accordingly. So that was a good exercise. Radio users meeting also was last week, and we addressed several things. We had good attendance, so that went well. In terms of what's happening coming up in our community, the Cortland just got completed a house fire drill. That went well. I was unable to attend that one, but we also, some exciting things are happening down in the southern part of the county where we've got a new firehouse going up in Barnson, and I know media has done some interviews on that. They actually have a fundraiser coming up. Actually, they're calling it Fire Prevention and Safety Day. It's next Sunday with a lot of kids' activities, so spread the word for that because I think it'll be an excellent opportunity for them to showcase something that's awesome in their communities. So we'll try to push that.
Well, they did have the house fire in Cortland on all the news channels in Lincoln last night.
So. Yeah. It was Eddie Mueller actually lives in Cortland, but he's also on the 75th Academy, which is he goes out and about and does a lot of training nationwide. So we're very fortunate to have him there.
Other than that, Beatrice Hazardous Mitigation Committees are meeting. We'll be a part of that. That's part of the requirements of emergency management. We are focusing right now on youth education, and so we actually have plans to take some older 4-agers into dispatch on Monday so they can actually know when they make a 911 call, where that goes, and how 911 dispatch actually addresses all their, you know, those needs. Couple things, you know, public awareness, but more importantly, as the shortage of dispatchers happens, you know, this might be a good opportunity as career shadowing. They have a good shadowing program there. So we hope that that's a part of it. I know I talked with Christina Lyons, who does some special programs, too, so we're going to kind of network together there. And we're also sponsoring. I found a sponsor. I think I might have mentioned to committee before, but found a sponsor for preparedness as these kits that you put together, you know, whether they're first aid, whether they're, you know, your winter kits, whether they're your pet preparedness kits, all those road hazard kits are expensive to put together as you put them, but it's part of the FAIR curriculum. So we're actually found a sponsor to help sponsor $10 for each kit that's put together. So that's a good thing, and so we'll move forward with that. On the zoning side, I know this morning you have you're chatting about bringing on Jeff Argo. He'll be a good addition if so approved. So, and the other thing is the city of Beatrice has notified us that there is an addition that will be in their jurisdiction, which is straight north of Beatrice. That is the, I have copies here that falls in that subdivision in Section 2 of Midland Township, and that will be North Shores and Saddle Ridge, which will be Barnard's and Blake Mines's area. So we have 4 weeks to look at the project to make sure that it's all complied. It's just right off of Elm Road, so we'll chat with Galen a little bit about his concerns, safety concerns, and things like that. So that's really all I have. Anybody have any questions? Okay. That's it.
Those, about how many houses would be in each of those? I know we looked the other day, but I forget.
Shores, there's maybe 7 lots. I'm not sure. I have copies of that here. Let's see. 8 lots in North Shores. And on Saddle Ridge, there's 4 lots. So, mm-hmm. Yep. So, stop down at the office or something and take a look at these if you want. But we'll have some time yet. So, that's all I got.
Thank you. Anything else for Lisa? Here. Sorry. Here, you got a letter.
Letter.
You probably saw this. They sent you one too. This is for the inspection they did or whatever.
Oh, I haven't gotten mine yet.
But you haven't got yours. There you go.
Okay.
Make sure Don's office gets a copy too of that.
All right, I'll bring that quick.
There was only one thing that needed some paperwork filed or something.
That would be the who you do business with.
Yeah. Otherwise, it all went good.
Gus, you got anything?
Did they take the tanks out of the bus stop? Oh, I had in my notes that they were going to do it yesterday.
No, so. Haven't seen it. Okay. Literally yesterday, I see they got the bricklayers got his stuff sitting out getting ready to go, but haven't seen anything else past that. Not a lot on the agenda for me. We had, of course, reported at the committee meeting, both vehicles sold on Purple Wave, about $5,200. And Eric was gracious enough to let me buy a chair with wheels on it with that money, so I should be good to go. Other thing was we kind of finished up on our side of it for the retro pay. Don's got Charlotte working on trying to match up which the numbers will be. We already got a couple errors, minor errors that we saw, so we'll have that finalized. There was some money that on the budget side of the sheriff's office we're going to have excess. I don't know exactly what it's going to be because the retro pay would technically come out of some, well, it wasn't going to come out of it, I guess. So it was like 100-some thousand. They went down, something like that. It was left over.
Right, but that's done. You don't have any excess.
I know. That's what it's done. Mm-hmm. It's out of there. So if retro pay would have come out of that prior to, it would have been, yeah. So beyond that, we had about, I think, 5 or 6, 7 deputies in here and sat down and had an informal discussion with some of the board on some concerns they had on staffing for about an hour, I think. So that went pretty well. So not a lot I have on the plate. Pretty minimal compared to Lisa today, so.
Sheriff, I was gone Friday. What, can you give me just a real brief overview on these? I haven't read through them yet, but it looks like these came to committee on.
What are they?
A couple of those handouts. One Hanson hand and stuff. Yeah. And Klaus handed out the other one.
I haven't read them yet.
Oh, yeah. These are just job descriptions that have the manuals on the positions. The deputies holding positions. That's just what that is. And this one here is when Ms. Hanson typed up just some random information for you on the law enforcement, the road patrol we all have to do. You know, the concern is their staffing. We're at the point where anytime somebody takes off or for whatever reason, they're having to backfill that, and it's getting to wear on them a little bit. So that's what I was trying to do something with them on a couple of issues with cars, save some money. I mean, I could do something on the budget, and I couldn't. So I put in the budget what I said I was going to do. I told them, and then Gary said they could come over and sit down and talk to committee, and that's what they did, and that's where we're at. So. Okay.
Anything else for law enforcement? Road and Bridge.
Dirt crew activity. They installed a 72-inch culvert in East 34 Lincoln and moved down to East 6 Glenwood, installed another culvert. Both projects I looked at, and both of them were excellent. I mean, when it's done, it's such an improvement compared to what there was. Other than that, I don't know if Galen has any updates on the two bridges. Maybe you could come up and tell us where they're at, Galen. Box culvert and bridge, I mean.
On the federal aid project up on Apple Road, when I was up there last week, they had the east bent piling were drove and the concrete was poured. They were forming up the east abutment. They were going to pour that last Friday, and also they were working on setting and driving the west bent piling, and the plans were to hopefully next Tuesday pour that, and they just have the west abutment to pour, and then they'd start on the deck on that. So they're making good progress up there. On Odell North, with all the big rains we had, two weeks ago approximately, they were going to schedule to pour that on the Wednesday, and we had that big rain down in there, and it flooded everything out. It was about 3-4 foot of standing water in there and still running through. When I was down there late last week, the water finally quit going over their dam they put there, and there was probably about 2 foot of standing water in the hole on top of their rebar and stuff that they had down there. So, and it was just starting to get down to the point where they're probably going to be able to get in there and pump that water out. Then the other night they had like an inch and a half rain down in there. I was down there yesterday, and it was going back over the top of their temporary dam. So they were going to look at it today. I haven't been down there today to see, because they put a dam in there, and there's about a 12 to 14 inch pipe through there for the water to run through when the creek was running naturally. But with all that heavy rain and stuff, it's just been constantly running all the time. So they're going to try to get down there today and kind of assess it and see if they could get started on again. So not much has gone on down there since all the rain has hit.
Part of the problem on that one, I know Dave Anderson called me, there's a pond, good size right up above. And last fall, I know the NRD came in and re-sleeved the overflow. Supposed to be a smooth smooth lined deal, and supposed to accept almost as much as what the original tube that was inserted inside. But once that pond fills up, that drainage is slower now, and so there's a lot of drainage comes into that pond, and so that's the problem there. Luckily enough, as I told Doug last Thursday, we got the rain. So we'll have to put up with a little bit of delays.
Okay, any other questions?
Thank you. Yeah, you could have had no rain down there, and they'd be ahead of schedule probably. Yeah. But that's I think everybody in the area would have rather had, or glad they had the rain instead.
Well,
most people
would.
Most people, yeah. Anything else for Roan Bridge? We have a timed event at 9:15. It's 9:07, so we will go on to the next item on the agenda. Approve or disapprove Southeast Nebraska Adult Drug Court interlocal agreement with Fillmore, Gage, Jefferson, Thayer, and Saline counties effective July 1st, 2018 through June 30th, 2019.
Oh, I didn't want to read that.
Second. Motion by Byers to. By Bauman to approve and seconded by Thiemann.
And I was ready.
I thought I heard a mumble, yes. Yeah. Each county's amount is $8,251.26. Do you want to talk about it a little bit or not? Or Roger. Okay.
Yeah.
Go.
I talked to Amanda Van Asper, and she was unable to be here this morning. She's a director of the drug court for Southeast Nebraska. Basically, she wanted to point out the amount for asking from Gage County, $8,251.26, is actually less than it was last year, even though we have six more participants. And again, that's because the other counties have more participants coming into the program. Right now, for the past year, we had 48 participants, which is up. And again, by the judicial standards, we can't take more than a certain number without adding a director, another director. And in light of all budgetary concerns out there, that's probably not likely to happen. We did have 8 terminations last year, and when I say we, I did cover the drug court for a while. Well, my chief deputy was on maternity leave, and it is quite a program as far as keeping these people into a treatment program, and it is very closely monitored by the drug court. We did have 8 terminations last year. People that didn't comply with the program requirements. And again, what happens there is they come back to court, and more than likely they'll be sent to prison for their possession of controlled substance or whatever they may be accused of and have already admitted. The last thing I want to just add in speaking with Ms. Van Asperen, she's seeing an increase in her prescription drug use, and that's something I think across the nation we're seeing that, but it's also holding true with Gage County. Also, alcohol and marijuana use seems to have increased. The good news, if you can characterize this as good news, is methamphetamine seems to have leveled off. Again, it's one of those things you just kind of say thank you for that little bit of good news, because as we all are aware of, there's a considerable amount of problems out there with the prescription drug use. The other issue, and again, it's something that Gus has to deal with constantly, and we do in the courts, is the dual diagnosis people with mental illness on top of their substance abuse. And that's one of those things that you almost get to the point where you throw your hands in the air. You don't know which way to go. What do you treat first, the drug abuse or the mental illness? And again, I think we've got good partnerships out there. I know Christina's worked hard in that aspect, working with Blue Valley, and I won't name them all, but we've got a lot of partners working with that. The last thing, and again, national average-wise, everybody always asks, what's your success rate? And again, success rate typically is designated as somebody that has stayed clean after going through the program for 5 years. And basically, Southeast drug program has a 91% success rate. And that's remarkable. It really is. And I think it's a tribute to the program that's been designed over there. It's, what are we in, our 10th or 11th year? I forgot. But again, it's a very tremendous, good program. It saves this county money by removing these people from the court system. And again, it's a tough sometimes it's tough to analyze it that way. But if the whole concept is to get these people in a program, help them with their abuse and addiction, get them back into a society as a with a job, paying taxes, and supporting their families. And that saves us money rather than, you know, the average cost of a trial to do a controlled substance jury trial will run anywhere from $6,000 to $10,000. So that translates into a lot of savings for this county. So I would, again, recommend that we continue with this program. Answer any questions that you might have.
And that $8,000, which over $8,000 was county share, that's based on numbers. That's,
well, there's a $1,000 assessment for each county that's in the program. Then they basically allocate based on the number of participants. Obviously, we have the most participants, so we have a little higher money. One other thing, Ms. Van Asper is very frugal with the money. She was able to basically not spend the entire amount from last year's budget, so that's helped to keep it down. It's about, as I recall, about $800 less than last year.
Okay. Any more questions or comments? If not, vote 7-0 in favor.
I'm supposed to pick up those signed copies, too. Don't let me forget that.
She's got them.
Thank you.
We got them all signed. we jumped the gun and assumed that we were going to pass it. Yeah.
All right.
We have a time event here at 9:15. It's 9:14 on the clock, so I think we'll just wait a minute. I don't know, although, if we've gotten any bids.
We
don't have any bids. So it's for the awning at the bus stop over here, so... Unless somebody shows up here in the last minute, we won't have any bids for it.
Scott, this is your opportunity.
You can get it for a dollar, Scott. Want to turn something in?
I'll still pass.
You'll still pass.
Guess I'll take it down.
Well, Dave had mentioned that I thought someone had contacted him.
Someone had.
Gus, somebody had contacted. But and I know Dave even took a copy and wanted to put it on Facebook.
He wanted the signage, didn't he? He didn't want the awning. No, he wanted the signage.
The signage around the front of the building, you mean? Or
the sign.
The sign.
They went out front?
Right.
Okay.
I don't think he wanted the awning.
He didn't want the
petrol sign?
I don't think so. Yeah, I think, yeah.
So we just scrapped the frame and stuff on it?
Send it to scrap? We just scrapped it?
Probably better. Advertise it in something with gas station.
We do have a 9:15 timed event, though, so we need a motion to close, accept, reject, or award bid for the awning at the former bus stop facility. So
make a motion to close and accept all bids.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, seconded by Thiemann. Vote 7-0 in favor. Now, having done that, we don't have any bids. So
scrap it.
I would say throw it out for throw it out on public auction. Either talk to an engineer and list it on like auction time or something. Or
I thought somebody visited with one of those with somebody from one of those companies, and they didn't know if it was worth putting on there or not. Or I don't know.
Well, right now it's worth nothing.
Yeah.
And if we can get something, that's still better than nothing.
Is it slowing down your renovation of the building, though? I mean, are you trying to get somebody to take it down for the price? I'm just asking, because if you're not...
If we get it taken down...
You guys probably want to get it down so we can keep going on the project.
Scrap it. That's going to delay the brick and everything else, right? If it stays there.
I don't know. Why would it delay anything?
No. Not going to delay.
It's actually that's in the way that they got out of that sign across the top there.
I thought we were talking about
that in the roof.
Talking about the awning, not the.
We're talking about the thing over top of the pump saw. That other stuff. You just scrap that. Yeah.
That's
that
junk.
The bricklayer's bit.
That stuff on the building.
The canopy awning thing on the brick.
No. It was not going to hinder taking out the pumps.
It's not going to bother anything. It'd be good to get some money out of it, but we can just leave it for now.
Well, Gus, you want to visit with Purple Wave? Who else? Auction time or Purple Wave or something, and see if they want to list it. Otherwise, if not, then we just, well, scrap it. But let's see if they want to list it. Let's go that route and see if we get anything, I guess.
I talked to Roy about it, and he said you can probably bundle it, see what you get. But he said it's not real popular stuff that they could try.
Is that safe for us to take something like that down, Terry?
Absolutely. Do it at about 5 o'clock Sunday morning. No traffic.
Unbolt it and let it blow over.
We just will list it. I mean, we may have somebody have an interest in it now.
What'd you say, John?
We may have somebody have an interest in it.
Have somebody have an interest in it now.
Missed it. But.
So you're just talking about the awning over the pump?
The awning over the pumps, yep. Well, they can have the pumps, too, if they want them.
I was going to say, if the pumps are there, why don't we just bundle it all together and be done with all of it?
The bus stop sign, too?
Yep.
Sure.
See if they want to come down and list it, because we can maybe get something out of it that way. It'll be more than scrap iron, maybe. But if not, then we'll scrap it. So. Okay. Next item, approve or disapprove recommendation for special designated liquor license for Bev Acton's Classic Catering for a reception for Nebraska Community Foundation at the Homestead National Monument on August 23rd, 2018 from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m.
Approve. Second.
Who made the motion? Tiemann. Second by Bauman. I caught that one. But.
The clerk was talking, so we couldn't
hear. Well, I was going to tell him that Bev said that she wanted to be here. She was thinking the meeting was Wednesday, and she had a commitment she couldn't get out of on Tuesday.
Yeah, it's a very special day, so I think we should approve it.
August 23rd?
Uh-huh.
It's your birthday?
It's your birthday. And it's for an event they are holding out at Education Center in the multi-purpose room at the Homestead National Monument.
She indicated it was a thank you to kind of the donors and stuff. Again, I think they've done that.
They've done that in the past. They've done this in previous years. So, and Gus has a letter on here that they do not oppose the issuance of the special designated license. And stuff. So, any other comments? If not, vote 7-0 in favor. Next up, approve or disapprove 1% increase for the lid on restricted funds.
Move to approve.
Second.
Who made the motion to approve? Lytle. Mm-hmm. Motion approved by Lytle, seconded by Bauman. Yeah.
Terrible.
Don, you want to explain it?
The same process that we've done in the last several years.
We can increase our asking by 2.5% without a vote of a special vote of the board. Otherwise, we have to have a 3/4 approval.
Yeah, it was. Now they've changed it to the majority of this year.
Oh, now so it's just the majority that's here. Okay. Yeah. To increase it another 1%. Not saying we will be using this. It's just that. If we, as we go through a budget process, if that is something that we find out we have to do, then we have this approved on there. So, any more comments?
Is this the one they call the sheriff's option?
He just told you he had money left in his budget last year.
Oh, this is yeah. This is the 1% that he's going to get.
Vote 7-0 in favor. Discussion on the 2018-2019 county budget.
I've sent out all the worksheets, and I've got, I think, most of them all back. So we're just going to come in.
And you're thinking that we'll really start looking at those the first week of August?
No, we'll start here in a couple weeks in July. Yeah, nice one, Timmy. We really won't have all the figures till for the end of August when evaluations are set. But we can use last year's is what I do, is usually work with last year's and kind of see where we're at for capital improvements. I think there were some changes in some statutes and stuff now, so we'll have to go through that.
Have we heard about anything unusual for this year or any huge changes?
Not really.
A big change right off the bat will be jail holding costs, of course, and then some adjustments for that, but depending on what route we go, let's say sheriff's budget potential increase, equipment line items for the road department and stuff. I mean, those would be the.
No, and Gaten had some estimates there for I think it was armor coating so many miles again or something, you know, and stuff. He's proposing his
miles.
Budget, so
that was around $500,000.
A little over $500,000, yeah.
Rough numbers. But if you guys, Myron and I have talked some, if you guys have some ideas or ballpark happy numbers that you have, I mean, if you give Don or I a holler and talk, I mean, everything's on the table still right now.
This needs to be, we need to have a public hearing and approved and up to the state by September 20th.
Correct.
So.
Matt? Just throw out there, Pickerel East, move Philly Adams Blacktop. That's really rough. I drive that quite a little bit, and it's.
Just went out on, I saw you, John, was that Tuesday night?
Monday, I think.
Monday night, last week.
Yep. Rain.
Holmesville called, and I misread the text. I thought they were complaining about roads in Holmesville. So I went and drove the roads in Holmesville, and then it was Holmesville Blacktop. But there was a fair amount of water standing on there at the joints, basically where there's been the shrinkage cracks. So it's rough. Pickerel East is really rough.
And both of these roads are going to continue to come apart until we get them fixed. And, you know, the longer we put them off, the more it's going to cost, and the bigger project it's going to be.
First 2 miles on Adams Philly south of the Pickerel Blacktop, you guys have been working on those. Yeah. Had some calls on those.
Yep.
But they're being repaired. But something to think about. Armor coat probably won't take care of some of the rutting and stuff, but that's big dollars.
Yep.
And there's... How many more years left on the road bond?
It was a 2013 bond, so.
It was 10 years.
So probably five.
7 years. Was it 7 years, I think?
No, we don't have 7 years left.
No, I said it was a 7 year bond. I
think. Oh, it was a 7 year bond? It wasn't a 10? I thought it was a 10.
Well, I can remember. It was a 10 year bond. Seven.
I think it's.
I thought it was 2020 for some reason.
2023.
It a 10-year bond.
Right. Yeah.
It was we started, right. That was approved in 2013, and that's 2023 when that one runs out. Yeah. And there are some other, like, you know, our road and bridge sinking funds and stuff like that, you know, but they're a good part of those in there. When you see those dollar amounts, they're restricted or whatever. They have to be used for certain types of projects. So, and we hope we don't have it, but what do we have the bridge up at Claytonia? You know, I know most of those funds could be used for something like that, but that's part of what the state went to was you need to start planning ahead and making sure you as a county are doing the proper planning so that they're not doing any more of these federal aid projects. It's all flowing through the state and they're allocating so much back, and then you have to be more aware of what you're doing and how you're spending it. And how you're keeping track of it so that when something like that would, if one of those bridges that we've talked about, you know, if one of them would go down or whatever, have to be closed, then that would come out of the county's funds too. So.
And I think it's time we look at, you know, both of these roads, Pickerel East and the Homestead down to Research Road. You know, I mean, they're going to have to get done next year. Or they're just not going to be there.
When I was out of county for the workshop, I visited with that, and Terry's talked about it, that company out of Kansas that comes up in here, and they did, I think, 41 over there or something to Claytonia or something, where they basically grind it up and put it back down, and now they develop one where they, if the base is bad, they'll mill the top and they'll put some kind of cement down in below the bottom of it. And... you know, they were talking. What he gave numbers then, he said he'd have to come up and look at them, but maybe we need him to come up and look so we can get some kind of estimate. I've got the contact information at home, or maybe Galen does. Maybe we need to get a hold of him and see one so we have a little better idea what that type of project. Otherwise, they'll mill 4 inches off the top, lay that back down, and but then they depends on which one you're doing. You either armor coat it once or armor coat it twice right after you're done. So that's how they're. That's how they help protect it and lengthen the life of that, what they're doing.
Can we do that anything more than 4 inches, though, without doing massive reconstruction?
Well, there's some kind of new guidelines we've got to follow on that.
Because if we do that base restabilization, I think which would mean shoulders.
Oh, then you can't just go back with the road you have.
You're talking shouldering, ditching.
Well. He was talking to do the 4-inch. He was talking about roughly, these are just real rough numbers, $125,000 a mile to do the 4-inch. But now, he said he would have to look at it, and he wanted core samples, and I says, well, we cored it like 4 or 5 years ago, and he says, well, that's all they need to have to look at is those, however those corings were or whatever, if they could look at those. Because they said sometimes they were only done every mile, you know, sometimes half mile, just depended. But he said, no, that'd be plenty good for them to look at. For coring samples they need to look at, that would be plenty good.
And like John has said, I still think Pickerel East is rougher than the Holmesville Blacktop. I mean, it's broke up worse.
But John's been talking about Holmesville a lot longer. So
he has been. In Holmesville, you can tell, you know, north of the quarry, the trucks that are bouncing it's smoother. The lane going north is the one that's cut way worse. And there was water standing. Even after the water, you know, it stopped raining quite a while before, but there's still water.
I know where I have his information or his contact information, Galen. I'll get that to you. And at least we'll have him come up and give us, you know, all it's going to be is an estimate and everything. But then at least you have some kind of dollar figure that you can look at to see if it's something that we could entertain or not. Because in our road and bridge sinking fund, those restricted funds, we could use them for something like that, I think, couldn't we? You know, there's two types of... we're getting about $280,000 a year back from the state in two different things that they have that they send back.
One was bridge and one was something else.
One was bridge and one was something, but it had to be for roads.
Yeah.
I was thinking they both had to go towards bridges or something like that. I'd have to look it up.
Well, I'd have to look that up too and see.
I was thinking it was bridges.
Is the one STP and the other bridge match?
One is definitely for bridges only.
One was for bridges only. Okay.
For maintenance on bridges or structures. I'll have to look that up.
We'll have to look that up and see, because they do have restrictions tied to them. I mean, they've got things that you can't just go out and... I know you can't go out and put gravel on roads with that money.
I think STP funds can be used for resurfacing and stuff, though, like concrete or... I don't know that, though.
You know, Terry and I were talking, we could take the millings off the Holmesville Road, put those on Pickerel, and if it just went to gravel, the water would just sink right in.
Yeah.
Fix the water problem.
Save some money that way, Matt.
What do you think, John?
Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
I think John might protest quite a while if you guys did that. So we'll see what and if the next... You know, as we're going through our budget, if some of those things, because that is one area that,
yep.
I'll just say this, going forward, we those funds with those restrictions on, we can maybe use those. There's some of our other stuff, like our inheritance fund and stuff, with the situation we have, we just don't want to be
right
out there.
And I think, you know, this guy wants to present something to the board, and I think it'd be good to hear it. You know, it's a new process. We're kind of getting into something that we do not have experience with, but if he's willing to do it, we're going to make a decision on something.
I'd be happy to hear it. It's just we got to keep in mind we might have more money outside the road bed if we do that, where there's a base stabilization,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Than we do in the actual asphalt by the time you haul, ditch, do everything else. Because I assume, Galen, is there a timetable on that? Say we do a reconstruction of a road, are we allowed X number months, years to do a shoulder and everything?
Well, if you exceed the new limits, you actually got to go out and make that road, say, a 28-foot top. I'm using that for example. So you have to go out and do your profile, do your whole road profile before you can bring your new asphalt and put it on top.
Oh, so it's...
You got to do all the grading and everything prior to bringing that up. If you exceed that... say it's either a 3 or 2 inch minimum of new asphalt before you have to kick it out and go through all the new standards. I don't remember exactly what.
Well, that company ought to know, though. I mean, they ought to know the Nebraska rules or whatever, good enough to know whether or not they could come in and do that type of project or not.
It's really sad, though. I mean, that's our friends at the state again. They've taken what we could do as maintenance and made it just ridiculously expensive.
Anything else for the budget? If not, we'll move on. Approve or disapprove? Entertain a motion to approve or disapprove appointing Jeff Arger to the Planning and Zoning Commission for a 3-year term.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, second by Hill. That's the one I heard over here.
Yeah, I second that. Eric just kind of.
No, no.
Eric,
I mean,
was louder.
Jeff Arger was replacing Dave Zimmerman on there. And John visited with quite a few people, and John, we wanted somebody in the southern end of the county again, and Jeff has agreed to be on that Planning and Zoning Commission. So, and I know Lisa is comfortable with him, or real good and stuff. So, anything else? Vote 7-0 in favor. Anything else,
Lisa?
Oh. Otherwise, the only other thing on there is a closed session. I told the attorneys we're having all three groups of attorneys again down for a closed session at 10 o'clock and stuff. So
I had
don't expect any decision coming out of it again either at this time or nothing that we know. We're basically on hold until the 21 days after the 25th, which we'll know whether or not they consider doing anything as far as the whole 8th Circuit Court.
I assume you got copied that somewhere, but do you want that or do you Shredded.
If not, we will recess until 10 o'clock, when hopefully we'll come back in and go into closed session. So when all of the attorneys are here. So.
Retained.
At 9:35, we'll come back out of recess. And earlier, we had the adult drug court that we approved, and that's what I thought I was signing also. But Christina.
This is something different.
This is a different.
Completely different. Yeah.
This is completely different. This is a grant award, special conditions. Okay. This is, Christina, you want to talk about it?
Yes.
Go ahead. Instead of me. If you want to be on the mic, and we're back on recorded and everything. So.
Okay.
Oh, yes, this is.
Apologize for the miscommunication. I'm not sure what happened, but what this is, and it has to be in on July 11th, and so that's what the time problem is. This is the approval of the state grant award. A couple of weeks ago, when I wasn't here and sent the project director, I guess, or project coordinator, I'm the project director. She had asked you to sign the 3-year comprehensive plan,
yes.
And which you did, and we submitted and got that in on time. This is the grant that I wrote in December, I think, and they came back with some contingencies, and this is the grant that starts July 1st to June 30th of next year. 2018 grant year. You'll see that I included in your handouts a list of where this money will go. Juvenile Diversion Coalition, 4-H Enrichment, what I do with positive youth development in the middle school. We have a staff and family truancy advocates. Laura is the family truancy advocate, and then with Beatrice Public Schools, we work with staff to match them with students who have had a history of truancy problems. We have alternative to detention and some funds for restorative justice this year. Total $74,798. There is a match to this grant. It is $8,311. However, that is funds that is already expended out of the county court budget. It's anything for juvenile justice. I think I use some of Gus's work that he already does in transporting, as well as guardian ad litems and attorney's fees for that match. So all we have to do is sign it.
Yes, and this is for the community-based juvenile services aid program. And the grant award period was, like you said, July 1st, 2018 to June 30th of 2019. This grant was awarded on March 2nd, but it just takes this long to get all of the paperwork and everything done.
Correct.
Like you said, the reason why we're adding this as an emergency agenda item is because it needs to be back in and approved and everything and signed by July the 11th.
Procedurally, you should have a motion to amend the agenda to include this based on that emergency. You need that before you take it up.
Okay. I entertain a motion to amend the agenda to include the community-based juvenile services grant.
Second.
Motion by Byers, seconded by Bauman. Vote. 7-0 in favor.
Any questions? I'm sorry.
With the 4-H enrichment, do you work with the new 4-H director then, J.C.?
Milius.
Milius?
I do some. Most of my work is still with Jane, but I'm actually a volunteer, and so, but this allows me to pay for the time that I spent in the middle school. During the school year, I do an enrichment program throughout the year that is 4-H based.
Because Jane had talked about that too, the time they were spending in the schools now.
Yeah.
Is that where that comes from? Is from your grant dollars than the work that Jane's doing?
Right. Right. Oh.
Any more questions or discussions?
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
We have a motion by Bauman and a second by Lytle to approve. Questions, comments? If not, vote. 7-0 in favor.
Thank you.
Well, no, thank you for being here. And, and do you have the signed copy you need, or otherwise this is the one I think you need? Yes.
I do, and I'll get that in the mail. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you guys for coming back. Sorry about that. We will now recess until everybody gets here for closed session.
Okay. Yep. You're on.
We will re-adjourn at 10:03 on the clock, our board meeting. We'll entertain a motion to go into closed session at 10:03 on the clock. Necessary for the protection of the public interest or for the protection of...
You didn't mean re-adjourn, you meant reconvene.
Reconvene. Oh, if I said adjourn.
Re-adjourn.
Reconvene.
I'm going to leave again.
We're starting.
Or...
For the record.
Entertain a motion to go into closed session necessary for the protection of the public interest or for the protection of the needless injury to the reputation of an individual at 10:03 on the clock.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Byers, seconded by Bauman. Vote. Gary. Oh. 6 in favor with Lytle voting no.
You can leave, sir.
Are you serious? You're leaving that?
You don't want to be here.
He left it.
We're on.
See, we're on. The cap.
11:30 on the clock. Entertain a motion to come out of closed session.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, seconded by Lytle. Vote. 7-0 in favor. Anything else for the good of the order? Do you want to vote this time if we want to adjourn? I'll let you vote.
I'm good.
No. Meeting adjourned. Thank you.